This is Sheila Winstead speaking on behalf of Roswell County Historical Society. Last week, I read one of Alban Zabrocki's stories written for his descendants. Alban was born in 1914 and lived near Greenbush growing up. He talked about the kitchen stove and how it was used for many things, one being to warm up a stone or some flat irons to bring to bed at night to help you stay warm in a cold house. I'll continue reading his story. You may not believe, but I'm telling you the truth. There were mornings when I would wake up and there would be snow on top of our quilts. Well, sure, we had shingles, cedar shingles, but during the summer, who would notice that the shingles moved? Perhaps some of them had rotted, and perhaps the job was done slovenly and we'd actually wake up with snow on our beds. Quilts, they were not warm enough. Just common, ordinary cotton quilts were not warm enough. So all the people on the farm raised geese. And they would eat the geese, of course, at Thanksgiving time and Christmas time, and all during the summer cleaned up the yard and watched where you stepped. But geese, they were really something. You never wasted the feathers of the geese. The down, which is the small tiny feather next to the breast, was what we saved, and we put it into a big tub. And after we killed the goose, we plucked the feathers. Can you imagine the weightlessness of a feather? How careful you had to be? We were told, don't go out that door, and if you do, close it slowly, and don't cause any draft, because the feathers will fly all over the place. Well, that is what we filled our so-called blankets with, but they were called feather ticks, and boy, were they warm. If you've ever seen a goose on a lake with the ice frozen, they don't seem to be very cold. Anyway, that's a feather tick. Now, how do you get down from there in the morning? Well, Dad usually got up about an hour earlier than the rest of us. We had that central heating stove, and it was kind of an upright thing with nice chrome ornaments on it. Oh, it was decorated on the bottom and decorated on the top, but you could pull the top cover off to the side and put your tea kettle on there, and you could even warm your water for tea or coffee on there. Dad was revving this thing up, thank goodness, most of the time, while you're upstairs trying to get up, hating to get up. You always made sure you knew where your pants were, your shirt, and your shoes. But of course, you never put them on upstairs. The pants, of course, you'd grab them, run downstairs, get next to the heater stove and dress. I can remember that as if it were today. Now, did you ever have to do that? Does Dad have to get up to heat the house? Oh boy, how fortunate you are. I don't know, maybe you're not fortunate. Maybe I appreciate life and what life and technology has done for us more than you people do or ever will be able to. I don't know how much more technology can there be, but I'm very happy to be able to relate this stuff and to be in the modern world today, even though I am now 85 years old. Can you imagine yourself in a period of time when there is no electricity? Look how we feel totally lost when the current goes out. Maybe sometimes for 5 minutes, sometimes 10 minutes. And my Lord, if it goes out for an hour, that is really bad. Well, anyway, I lived in a period of time out in the country without any electricity. I never missed it. Why didn't I miss it? Because I never knew such a thing would be available. Now, you're wondering, how in the world did you wash your clothes? How did you get warm water for your bath? What did you do for entertainment? You didn't have radio? You didn't have TV? What kind of a life could you have been leading at that time? Well, it wasn't bad at all. I can remember Mom washing clothes in the middle of the winter, temperature perhaps as low as 20 below, 30 below zero. When it was that cold, she wouldn't hang her clothes on the line. First, I must tell you how she washed those clothes. Now again comes that good old kitchen range. I told you it was the center of livelihood in those days. Next week, I'll read the rest of Alban Zabrocki's description of clothes washing when he was a kid in the 20s and 30s. He has done a great job of documenting all kinds of processes used back then. Thanks to Wild 102 for this time to tell our county stories.